Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
People are asking in the chat, Benjamin, if there'll be another run-in at Fantasy Camp with one Goose Gossage. And
You're a nerd, too.
Unfortunately, or I guess fortunately, he will not be there.
I'm no less nerdy than I was last year at this time.
That's so true.
I would still be on his bad side, I would take it.
I would guess, too, that he is a year surlier. I don't think he's softened in a year. No, my guess is, you don't... I mean, some guys soften with age. I don't think he's one of them. I don't think he's a guy... you know what? Maybe I was a little harsh on some of my takes. I don't get that sense.
If he was going to soften with age, it probably would have happened
It would have happened by now.
But, you know, then he wouldn't be Goose anymore.
Correct. And we would not have that interview that will live in infamy.
I mean, I think we'll know. If he shaves the mustache, maybe he's softened a little bit. But I don't think he's ever going to... Can you imagine Goose without the mustache?
I cannot.
You're a nerd, too.
I cannot.
It's part of who he is.
What are you so mad about, dude? Why are you so mad? Because people like to have information. He was so mad. Just because people like information now, and hey, this might be some information that could help you get better. Absolutely not. I'm going with my gut every time.
That was...
it was the most uncomfortable I've ever been.
The worst segment we've ever been a part of.
People loved it. People loved it. But I was outside my body. I was outside. My soul had...
I remember, yeah.
My head was between my legs. I was going to throw up.
When we finally finished up with the show, we got dressed, we went out and started getting ready for batting practice or whatever out there on one of the fields. One of the training staff guys, he was like in the dugout as I'm tying my cleats, you know, and he goes, "Oh, how'd the show go today?" It's like, it went.
Go listen.
We had Goose on. He goes, "Oh, you put Goose on the live air. Radio?"
Yeah.
I'm like, "Yeah, we'll never do that again."
Two S bombs, a P-bomb.
Multiple
P-bombs.
And nearly an altercation with one of the hosts.
Correct.
You're a nerd, too.
God, it was...
He was pointing at me angrily when he did
coming
that.
Across
he
the
was
table.
Reaching across the table,
You're
giving a strong, strong point at me at that point.
Oh, God. What was it? Let the P-words be P-words or something?
Yeah, it was great.
Behind their computers. Oh, God.
I may need to start a beef with a new Padres alum this year if Goose isn't going to be there.
Who? Chris Gomez,
Gomez. I don't really know Chris.
I don't either.
He seemed pretty laid back as a player. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's got a secret edge, and we can go butt heads and battle it out, or one of the other guys.
Look,
possibly.
It's going to be tough to top last year, but we will do our very best. And hopefully, like we just mentioned, hopefully we have some good news. With Roky Sasaki, signing with the Padres, that'd be a really, really fun way to kick off camp on Monday.
Speaking of camp, happy birthday yesterday to Randy Jones.
Randy Jones.
Jay.
What's he? You ever going to throw a strike? Ever? Ever? You P-word.
All right. I'm sorry, Randy.
Baseball players do enjoy using that word.
They
Maybe
do.
A little too much.
They do. That's fine.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of bad news, the Aztecs, college basketball fans, plenty of it over this weekend as San Diego State went into New Mexico on Saturday morning Got up, ready, excited to watch some college hoops.
Me
at
too.
10 a.m. on national television, real like CBS, over the air. And they just got bodied by the Lobos. I mean, New Mexico's a good team. They're undefeated in the conference.
12-13-3?
Yeah, they're 6-0 now in the Mountain West. You know, they're playing at altitude for the first time this season. Sold out pit. It's a hostile place to play, like Viejas Arena is for other teams. I just think I saw a lot of fans from the Aztecs just very disappointed in their team's performance.
Yeah.
They looked
listless.
Yeah, that was one of the words.
I hate the word. I don't like to use the word lazy. Not lazy, but like there were lazy passes. There were lazy shots. It wasn't your typical suffocating Aztecs defense. You know, altitude definitely has a factor in it, but you can't use it as the ultimate excuse. The early start time, you know, they had to play the early start time too. They're also college kids. They came out really, really good. And bro, it was, you never really felt like you were going to get back in that game, just the way that things were going. It wasn't good.
It was really
sloppy.
Yeah. The offensive rebounding though is where the game was really decided after the Aztecs had dominated Air Force on Wednesday. I mean, dominated them. They got dominated. 18-3, the final tally on offensive rebounds. 14-1, second chance points. That pretty much encompasses the entire difference in the ballgame. It was just the fact that if New Mexico missed, they had unlimited chances to go back and score again on San Diego State, who didn't really do anything that well. They were held to 20 points in the first half.
Yep.
Briefly, they were only down 10. I thought that was kind of a miracle, down 30-20. They briefly got within 5 right at the start of the second half, and I thought, okay, they're getting used to the altitude. They're getting their lungs, whatever. Here comes the run. And
it
did not last.
No.
Got no closer. And now San Diego State is facing, it's hard to call it a must-win game when we're still only in January, and March is a couple of months away, but the Aztecs are now 3-2 in the Mountain West. Both New Mexico and Utah State are 6-0. If you want to stay up with the leaders, you can't fall to 3-3 when Colorado State comes to town tomorrow night for an 8 p.m. start. You don't want to drop any further in the metrics. They fell from 31-41 in the net, 31-36 in the KenPom. So those are both still fine. They're still in the at-large range, but you don't want to drop any further because then all of a sudden you're a bubble team, and you don't want to be a bubble team come March and have to rely on winning the Mountain West tournament when you know you're going to have to face teams like New Mexico and Utah State, who have already beaten you. Those will probably be two teams you might have to face again, not only in the regular season, but in the Mountain West tournament as well.
Yeah, feels as must-win as a game in January can be, though, right? You just got to get the winning vibe going again with that team, and not a lot to be happy about after that performance. Miles Byrd did tweak an ankle, came back in, did not score again, but that was a kind of a scary sight to watch him laying on his back, grimacing in pain. Any word on Reese Waters, when he's supposed to be back? I've not heard a single word.
It's not been going well. They're now at the point in trying to decide whether it might just be better to redshirt and save one more year of eligibility for next year.
That's a bummer.
Which is a bummer. Who is the only guy coming back with experience and expected to be preseason, all Mountain West, and has not been able to play a single game because of the stress fracture that he suffered early in the season.
This crazy paragraph in the UT about this game. They didn't make a perimeter shot until 3:43 left in the first half. They had 9 first half turnovers. They shot 5 air balls. They missed 13 layups. They were 9 of 17 at the line. Miles Byrd had 14 points, but he needed 13 shots to get there. Fellow guards Nick Boyd and BJ Davis were combined 2 of 14. And when they did miss, they couldn't chase down the rebound.
Kind of amazing they only lost by 14.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Reading that, you're like, God, they should have lost by 30.
Not defense was still pretty good. I mean, New Mexico's averaging, I think, over 80. And they held them to 62. So, they still played defense, but that was about all they did. And then I had high hopes for later that day when UCSD played, maybe the biggest game they've ever played, hosting UC Irvine with first place on the line in the Big West, both teams with NCAA tournament aspirations. It was sold out at Lion Tree Arena
for
just
cool.
The second time ever. The atmosphere was great. It was on ESPNU. Steve Quist was calling the game, so everybody around the country had a chance to see the Tritons really for the first time. And UCSD, which has been such a great three-point shooting team, with Tyler McGuy I mean, they have been on fire all season. They couldn't make anything. 6 of 36 from three-point range, and they lost 60-52 to the Anteaters. You know, and UC Irvine's a good defensive team, so give them some credit.
They have a seven-footer Irvine or UCSD had absolutely no answer.
Yeah.
They could not figure out how to attack him.
The Aztecs have a seven-footer that couldn't get a rebound on Saturday, you know?
You know, had UCSD played, I think, more of a typical shooting game, they definitely could and will have a chance to beat UC Irvine, the rematch in Irvine later in the regular season. And, of course, it'll probably end up coming down to the tournament. You know, Big West is usually a one-bid league, so you got to win that conference tournament ultimately in the end.
Yep.
This is a temporary setback for the Tritons, but it was still a big moment nonetheless for a basketball program that is taking that next step
100%.
To Division I. And not that anyone was paying attention, but on the same night, USD lost 103-56 to St. Mary's, making it really just one of the worst Saturdays in Division I college basketball in San Diego we've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, I'd say so.
It was brutal. So
Seals lost. It was not a great week.
Seals lost on the road in Vancouver.
It was terrible.
It was not the best week. Hey, the San Diego Mojo won on the road.
No, they're still playing.
Second season.
Home opener? Okay.
Home opener is Thursday. Oh. They've been on the road for the first two.
All right.
So you had one win.
That's volleyball, yeah.
For a San Diego team. And the soccer's won, too. They beat Tacoma 9-5. So we had a couple of soccer. I just want to mention it. Today is the day. San Diego FC begins their first ever training camp.
Yep.
Down at their facility, their new facility that they're building on the Sequan Reservation at the Singing Hills Golf Course. First practice is later this morning, and they will have their first preseason games less than a month away in Coachella Valley in February 8th, and then the first game at the LA Galaxy on February 23rd.
Their roster's not complete, though.
They did announce a roster over the weekend.
They did.
They may still have more moves to make.
Okay.
Including another designated player, one of those international guys you can sign. But they have announced a roster, the one that they are bringing to preseason training camp starting today.
Okay.
So they will open it up, and we will officially have an MLS team this morning
that
is actually
official.
Together and have soccer balls and uniforms and everything.
Should have worn my lid today and worn my jersey. I saw it in my closet this morning, and I thought maybe I should wear that today, but didn't match my sweatsuit.
So,
you all right?
Yeah, good luck to them. Okay. Yeah, I'm still feeling the after effects from last week's vocal infringements.
You're doing great.
I'm doing okay. I wouldn't say
doing fine.
Great, but I've made it this far, right?
Yep.
That's something. It's not nothing to make it this far.
I'm proud of you. You're a grinder.
I try.
Yeah.
I try to be here for you. And
did you work last night?
I did.
How'd that go?
It was fine. I have my long segment on Sunday nights where I'm talking essentially for 6 minutes straight, and that was tough. I told them, anytime we go to like a sound bite, because you know you talk and then you have a 10-second sound bite, turn my mic off I can cough up my lungs and then turn it back on.
Okay,
because it's not like radio where I can turn off my microphone and cough. I don't have a cough button. I just have a little lav mic, and someone else is controlling that. So I had to really fight through it for that, at least that long segment for my my Sports Extra show.
I'm sure it went well.
All right, it is time to tell you about Prize Picks. It is daily fantasy. It's the one I've been doing for the last about 8 months or so. Really having a lot of fun. I think it appeals just to my sports intellectual side, where I get to run my own game by picking more or less on 2 to 6 players, stat projections, and then putting them together. You know, you can go big, try to put together 5 or 6 player lineups. You can go a little smaller, just 2 or 3. You can even go a 3-player flex play where you win 2 and you win money. So, I mean, there's definitely different ways to play this, different sports as well. Playoff time, though, is here. You've got a game tonight. Do not miss out on these last few weeks of football. You know you're going to miss it when it's gone. So this is a great time to get signed up with Prize Picks. And when you sign up, download the app. Make sure you use our special code KWFN. Get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup with the code KWFN. KWFN at Prize Picks. It's really easy to not only play, but it's also easy to deposit and withdraw money. You can use your MasterCard. You can use your Venmo. You can use your Apple Pay. I have won. I have taken my money out. It's been back in my account in like minutes, which is important, I think. You want to feel good about that. Prize Picks is taking care of that really well. So sign up today and start playing as soon as this evening. It's a ton of fun. Prize Picks, run your game, must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. We'll come back with Don't Do This.
I think Philly fans, you know, I don't know that you're ever going to beat the allegations. We had a couple of really insane stories out of Philly in the playoff game yesterday. It's just like, what are we doing, guys?
Coming
what are
up
we
after doing? Traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. I will start, unfortunately, with just a terrible story out of Louisiana. A former, now LSU wide receiver, Kyren Lacy, was accused of a hit-and-run accident on December 17th that resulted in the death of a 78-year-old Man. And here's what the sheriff of the parish, LaForche, Louisiana Parish, says occurred on the highway. Lacey, they say, was in a 2023 Dodge Charger on Louisiana Highway 20, recklessly passing multiple vehicles at a high rate of speed by crossing the center line, entering the northbound lane while in a designated no-passing zone. So crossing the double yellow line, passing cars on the right. Traveling behind a pickup, let's see, as Lacey was driving and illegally passing other vehicles, the driver of a northbound pickup truck abruptly braked and swerved to the right to avoid a head-on collision. All right, so they missed the pickup truck, but then right behind the pickup was a 2017 Kia Cadenza, whose driver decided to swerve left to avoid the Dodge Charger. When he swerved left, he collided head-on with a southbound Kia Sorento, and the 78-year-old later died from injuries suffered in the crash. Lacey, who wasn't actually involved in the accident, even though he was the one causing it,
right,
just drove off without stopping to render aid or report his involvement with the accident. A warrant was placed out for his arrest. He did turn himself into authorities last night, was jailed, and then released on a little over $150,000 bail, according to police records. Now, the kicker to all this, Woods, is that this happened on December 17th.
Yes.
On December 19th, oh my God, Lacey declared for the NFL draft after 58 catches for 866 yards and 9 touchdowns to the LSU Tigers this past season.
I don't think it works that way.
Probably not going to help his draft status.
I just don't think it works that way, buddy. It's a terrible story. Guy lost his life, former Marine. Now this kid's life is over. It's ruined.
I get so nervous. Even when I'm allowed to, you know, the dotted yellow line.
The dotted yellow.
Someone's going really slow in front of me, and I know I can legally do this. Oh, man, I hesitate. I just wait and wait until I can see, like, can I see, like, 3 miles ahead of me to make sure that
even
I'm going to be able to get around this car?
Even I, who's a semi-aggressive driver, even I get very nervous passing somebody on the left, you know, and sometimes it has to be done. But, no, this guy, you know, again, the coming out and just the lack of remorse. Like, buddy, you made a terrific mistake, a terrible, terrible mistake. You got to stop. You have to stop and try to help the people. That it just it will never. The old, it wasn't even a hit and run per se. It was just more of a run. And then the I'm going to try to throw a fastball by everyone and declare for the draft. Like, they're not going to figure out that I was involved in this. It was just a terrible story. Here's a couple more. I mean, out of Philly, like the second one's a little bit lighthearted, but the first one is definitely not. Guy by the name of Alexander Basara tweeted yesterday, said what it's like going to Philly just trying to root for your team. He's a Green Bay Packers fan, and his girlfriend is as well. Unprovoked, uncalled for, Packers Twitter, help me out and find this guy. This is not okay. I hate that my fiance had this happen, simply cheering for her team. She literally was just standing there. They did a review. I think Packers got the first down or something, and she's clapping, and there's a guy behind her, Philly fan, and he is right in her face, in her ear, telling her to shut her mouth, called her a dumb C-word. Right? And the boyfriend's like, dude, you can't say that. And of course, everyone on Twitter is a mercenary. Like, you should have taken that guy out. It was him, his buddy, and his brother. And they were all drunk, all behind her. Like, he's like, if I go 1-on-3, I'm going to get my ass handed to me. Put it on Twitter. So that one definitely sucked. But he's out there now. They're going to find him. I mean, you know, control yourself at a game. But the one that made me laugh was by a guy by the name of Matt Schneiderman. Same game, he said. He was in the press box, and his tweet was, we've lost contain here in the press box. Drunk woman who's an Eagles fan, right in front of the window, is heckling Robert Sala and other bald folks in our row and calling them bald mother effers. Rob Domofsky just banged back on the glass and told her to sit the F down. They're in the press box, and a woman is, there's glass,
right,
and she is banging on the press box window, yelling at all the bald MFers in the press box. Robert Sala's there. Why? Just,
I guess he was probably doing some sort of guest coverage.
Guest
for
coverage, maybe, yeah,
during the playoffs. Yeah.
She's yelling at everyone for being bald. And the guy that yelled back at her and told her to sit the F down, he is also bald.
I will
and
say.
And he tweeted, he said, it's, you know, you want to get drunk at a game, that's fine, but don't come after the bald guy. We've had it hard enough.
There is an unusual amount of baldness in press boxes, I've noticed.
Ooh, that's true.
You know? I mean, sports writers have tended to be the domain of...
Sully got a job with the Packers. Okay, that makes sense. He works there. Okay, good.
Domain of older men, and obviously, you know, baldness and older men go together. So there is a bald... But I don't know why you'd be spending your time, you know, there's a game in front of you. Why are you turning around just heckling the press box the entire time? Now, here in San Diego, we generally don't have windows on most of our press boxes.
They're there. They're just not down.
I don't know. Do they even have...
Yeah,
like,
they have windows.
Like the main Petco Park,
Petco?
Can they close it? I've never seen them. I don't know if they can or not.
I don't know that they do.
I think they do.
Do they? They can I've never been to a game where it's been down.
No,
like, where
I've
it's
never
cold
seen
enough. We're gonna close up the press box today. It's just too cold out there.
Yeah, it's probably maybe for like wind or rain or something like that. I would imagine. You would know more than me. I've never seen
windows. I think maybe like the suites, like Jesse and Tony's booth, I think that can be pulled down.
That can be pulled down.
I think I remember when it was COVID, and Jesse and Tony were calling Padres playoff games that were on the road in Texas.
Yes.
But there was an actual game going on in front of them that wasn't the game they were calling. They closed it because...
Like the Yankees and the Rays
or something. It would have sounded weird because you would have heard all the baseball sounds that were not going on with the game that they were calling on a monitor.
Andy makes a good point here. So you got to think about it. It doesn't sit open all year. Birds flying in there taking a dump. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be... You have to have windows.
Yeah, or like maybe a canvas. I don't know that it's like see-through. Like, they could just like bring down like a... Yeah, like a tarp or something.
I bet you there's retractable windows.
Huh.
Adam says going after bald people could be considered a hate crime.
Text Bernie Wilson. I feel like he would know.
Yeah, I think there's window. There's got to be
windows.
He's
probably been there late enough, and they come rolling.
Yank the chain down. Yeah.
All right. Finally.
Philly fans, you love your team. I'll tell you, because this show, me, Ben, and Paul, we're going to Philadelphia in July together as a show outing to go to a Phillies Padres game. Should we just get together in my hotel room and just watch it on TV? I'm legit.
We can just wear Phillies hats and be quiet.
And just root for the Phillies. That's such a good bit. We're actually scared for our lives.
Yo, call me when you get your boat.
Here we are. Hey, we're three Phillies fans from San Diego.
This is normal, three normal Phillies fans. We won't tell anyone that the P on our hat actually stands for Padres.
Hey, Ben, can you get me a water?
Yeah, Ben, you grab water. Some waters for us. What's the scenario?
Yo, call me when you get your phone.
Ben, where's my phone? Good God. I'm legit scared for it. Now, it's a July game, okay? So there's not going to be any playoff implications or anything like that, I kind of just want to sit there and keep my mouth. I didn't have this feeling when I went to see a game in Kansas City. No, I knew it was going to be great, and everyone was going to be kind. Get me some waters. I'm terrified now. That's a freaking funny bit. Undercover Padres fans in Phillies gear. That's really good.
All right, finally a little doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
This is an old bit, but I always think a good one. Paul Goldschmidt did the traditional classy maneuver after going to the New York Yankees this offseason. Decided to take out the old full-page ad in the Post-Dispatch in St. Louis to thank Cardinals fans. Really nice, just full-page spread. Says, thank you, Cards Nation. Thank you for accepting me as one of your own. Thank you for the cheers. Thank you for sticking with me through the ups and downs. Most importantly, thank you for the relationships and memories, which will stick with me for a lifetime. It was an honor to wear the Cardinals uniform. Do my best to carry on the tradition built by so many before me. And then has his signature and a picture below it.
I mean, I still have the Eric Hosmer one from the UT framed at home. I just thought it was such a classy move. A guy that made 100+ million bucks taking out a full page ad, which runs, it's expensive. It's expensive, I think, if you wanted to take out a full-page ad, but...
You think they get a discount? I mean, it's like for the...
A player?
Yeah. For the question. Paper, it's probably like good PR to like run those things. I'd give them a little break. Hey,
a little discount.
You want to take out a full page ad? We can knock 15% off for you, Paul.
Yeah, when I need a little boost of like motivation, and I just read Esmer's touching words to the San Diego Padres fans.
Woodsy's making fun because there was no such thing ever happened.
Nah, I never really heard from him again.
And that's don't and do this for a Monday.
Still on the payroll though.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. We have once again set a record for the longest running show to not talk about the NFL playoffs on an NFL playoff Monday.
I'm excited to.
We will end that streak, though, after about an hour and a half this morning. Coming up in our next segment and go through some of the wild card games, including another case of charging in the postseason. Coming up next on 97.3 The Fan.
Can you believe that your old pal Woodsy fell for it? They got me. I bought in hook, line, and sinker, and they got me again. But real quick, before we go to break, I wanted to tell you about my friends over at QC Kinetics. So if you are having some joint pain right now, I mean, here we go again, right? You're going to start the new year feeling like you did in 2024. It doesn't make any sense. If you've got pain in your knees, your hips, your back, or your shoulder, make the decision now to say, no, not going to do it this year. Get moving again in 2025 with help from QC Kinetics. Have a lot of DMs asking me all the time, Woodsy, tell me about it really. How did it really go? It went amazing for me. I had severe pain in both of my wrists. Got treatments on them from QC Kinetics, and my wrists are perfect. They are absolutely perfect. So they are the nation's leader in regenerative medicine and joint preservation. No steroids, no drugs, no surgery. The future of medicine using an array of natural solutions like PRP to attack the pain from arthritis. So many people have discovered these cellular treatments. They're living life again without that constant pain in their joints. So if you want to learn more about how you can refresh your joints, get lasting relief with these treatments, call QC Kinetics. They will give you a free consultation when you call. Deal with your joint pain now. Make the most of the new year. 619-614-PAIN. 619-614-PAIN. It's QC Kinetics. Once again, 619-614-PAIN. I feel like a real, real rube. Just a dumb, dumb rube. I bought in, Ben.
To the Los Angeles Chargers, you bought in.
I did. I was told it was different. This year's different. I'm seeing Vinny Bonsignor tweeting about how, hey, this isn't your dad's Chargers. I'm like, all right. And again, I have no rooting interest. My rooting interest was to make money. And I looked at that game and I went, yeah, they're going to win that game. They're going to win that game. The line was 2.5 or something. I said, they're going to win that game by a field goal. And I bought into the Harbaugh, and it's a different culture, and Justin Herbert is ready to take the next step. And I was all in. I called a buddy. He goes, I need one bet for the weekend. What's your sure thing? He goes, if I win this bet, I get to collect from my guy instead of pay out. And I said, I've been there. I said, let me think. I said, well, the one I'm probably most confident about is the LA Chargers against the Houston Texans. On the road, I get it. But I said, man, the Texans just, C.J. Stroud has had such an up and down season. I know their defense is pretty good. Much maligned, really. They played great that day. But I said, yeah, that's my lock. And thank God he did not. He goes, I didn't bet anything. But I did. A hefty sum.
I actually was looking at the under for that game.
Yeah.
And it would have hit. It should have hit. There was no action. It was a very boring game.
Yeah.
A little exciting there at the end. And then when they had that, what the hell happened on that extra point?
Yeah.
That the kicker, like, all he had to do was just catch the ball and go down or whatever. And
he swatted it down
on the ground. And then Houston runs it back. That ended up killing me.
You know, I'm watching that game. The family and I went out to dinner. And I'm watching the game on the TV. And I see Justin Herbert just get clocked and just crushed. Two defensive linemen pin him, and he just withers to the ground. Then he gets up, and he makes the best throw of the playoffs, maybe, and hits the dude in stride for a touchdown. And I go, all right, so they're going to crawl back into it. Then what happens? The extra point comes along. Next thing you know, Houston's running it back for 2 points. And I just go, nothing's changed. Not one thing's changed. I cannot believe I fell into that trap.
I'd like to say I saw it coming, because, you know, I wanted it to happen. I was resident Charger hater. I wanted it to happen, but I kind of agreed with you. I just thought this is one they should win.
Oh, yeah.
And watching the first half, they were clearly, looked to me like the better team. You know, they weren't capitalizing on their opportunities, but they dominated, but were only up, what was it, 6-0 until the last minute of the first half. And then in the last minute, the Texans scored a touchdown, got a turnover, scored a field goal, and the Chargers went down at halftime 10-6, even though they were the better team for, you know, 29 of the first 30 minutes of the game. And I thought to myself, point, well, they can't play a much better half than they did the first half, and they're losing. So
you say that, but I go, because I had a buddy that said the same thing, like, ah, Chargers have just dominated this game. I'm like, it's 6-0. Nobody's dominated anybody. What are you talking about?
Well, they wasted too many opportunities. When they should have built a 20-7 lead or something in the first half, they didn't. And then the second half, I mean, Justin, I don't know if Justin Herbert was rattled, as he said, because he was taking some shots, but it wasn't the old, oh, that was an unlucky pick. He was making bad throws.
Yeah, there was
bad throws.
Will Dissly, it went right through his hands. Yeah, that happens. It's good. Look, and that's the thing. I saw a lot of Charger fans on the timeline saying, you know, look, you can't put all of those on Herbert. That's fine. I mean, look, at the end of the day, though, when you make, what's he making, this $50 million? It's going to be on you every single time. Every single time, whether your receiver biffs it, at the end of the day, they look at your line and they go, you threw three interceptions all season. You threw four on Saturday.
That was the stat that got me. In the year, calendar year,
calendar
2024,
year.
Justin Herbert threw three interceptions. Already in calendar year 2025, he's thrown four in one game, and it was the playoffs, and they are out.
I mean, just incredible. Yeah, they took the Chargers took it away three times, three sacks, and you still lose that game. Ladd McConkey is a stud. There's no doubt about it. He is an absolute superstar, almost 200 yards. But yeah, I just don't. I can't believe I fell for it. I cannot believe I fell for it again, and now I know better.
There's one thing I did like about that game especially.
The ending.
Scorigami.
Oh, God.
32-12. Had never happened in NFL history. And that was first time. The other game on Saturday, you know, I was on the Steelers side. I regretted that. I mean, within, I don't know, 1 minute, I go, oh, no, this is not. If they can't stop the run, there's no chance for the Steelers to win this game.
Not a lot of teams can stop Derrick Henry or Lamar Jackson.
I mean,
both of them on the field at the same time.
From a Ravens perspective, I did think, there was that stretch in the first half where it was like, Lamar Jackson, option, he runs. Option, he runs. Option, he runs. And I go, man, I don't like my quarterback to get hit that often,
no,
to run that many plays in a row, but sure is effective. I mean, it's almost impossible to stop. They just kept going after Derrick Henry, and they faked the handoff, and the defender who was in the backfield would go after Henry, and Jackson would just keep it and run it for another 8 to 10 yards. Like every single play, and they just kept massing up the yardage, and then eventually, of course, Henry broke out and got his. Overall, Henry finished with 186 yards rushing and two touchdowns. Lamar Jackson finished with 81 yards rushing. He also threw for two touchdowns. Baltimore setting a record with 299 playoff rushing yards against the Pittsburgh Steelers in a 28-14 win on Saturday night.
They punished the Steelers. They really did. The final score, I mean, it could have been way worse. Ravens defense was really, really good. Pitched a shutout in the first half, as you saw. That was easy money as far as I was concerned. But the way that Lamar is playing, getting a little bit of that monkey off his back in the playoffs and against that team, like, sky's the limit for them.
What are you doing, Pittsburgh? I'm sure Pittsburgh sports radio right now is just unbelievable, because Pittsburgh, like more than any other team, I would say in all of professional sports, I don't know enough about a couple of sports, but like they've had, what, 5 head coaches in franchise history?
Continuity is a big
something
thing.
Something like that. Like, yep. They don't like to switch coaches at all.
They've already said they're not.
And they're not going to.
They're not going to. They're running it back with Mike Tomlin.
Is that not what everyone is clamoring for? Like, you haven't made the playoffs?
There's been a lot of talk.
You haven't won a playoff game in 10 years.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk that, you know, Mike Tomlin's time has come. I don't know. I look at that roster, and I look at an inferior roster to the Baltimore Ravens team. I still think Mike Tomlin gets about as much out of his teams as he can.
Boy, our boss, Michael, is a huge, huge Steelers fan, and he is fit. He's probably going to wreck his
in
car
our
right
lifetime,
now.
It's been, what, Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Those have been the three coaches of the Pittsburgh Steelers, essentially, for our entire lifetime.
Yeah, Jacob says you can't fire a coach after that many winning seasons. It's this inability to move beyond, you know, getting to the first round of the playoffs and losing.
But they weren't. It's not like they were favored and they blew it in a lot of these games.
No, they were what? It was 9.5-point dogs.
They were huge dogs against a really good team. And you're going to say Mike Tomlin did something wrong? I just don't know that you can. I don't think you can blame Mike Tomlin for this.
It's the body of work. It's the last 10 years or whatever.
Remember, Russell Wilson looked, terrible in his last year in Seattle. Horrifically bad with the Broncos, who, by the way, as soon as they got rid of him, playoff team with rookie quarterback Bo Nix, and somehow Mike Tomlin gets Russell Wilson to the playoffs with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I say coach of the year. Don't fire him. The guy knows what he's doing. And my guess is if you fired Mike Tomlin, you'd be downgrading. Whoever you ended up hiring, you would be taking a step down from Mike Tomlin. Now, it was Phil Jackson who said, hey, coaches have about a 7-year
shelf life
at one place. And then you got to move on at some point to somewhere else. You might be able to squeeze another couple of years out of that, but message gets stale. You've got to move on.
Yeah. I think in professional sports, there's no position more important than a quarterback to an NFL team. Like, if you do not have a quarterback, you can't go that far in the NFL. And as I'm looking at their quarterback history in Pittsburgh, you know, Roethlisberger, I didn't realize he played until 2021.
Yeah.
Like,
then it was Kenny Pickett.
Call it the last 5 years of his career, he was obviously on the downward slope. And then you go to Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, Mitchell Trubisky, and then Russell Wilson and Justin Fields this year. Like, he hasn't had a whole lot to work with over the last couple of years.
And yet
they still win
10 games and make the playoffs, you know, more often, almost every season. I don't know.
Any other team, he would be the scapegoat, I think.
He would be hired quickly by someone else if he wanted to go anywhere else.
I believe that as well.
All right, we'll move on to Sunday's games and take a look at the Bills-Broncos. And Eagles-Packers, and then the Sunday night game as well, after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Please be safe out there. Did not like that report just now from Kelly Danick.
High winds and
brush
stuff,
fire,
too.
Yeah. Should say, in La Jolla. Ugh.
All right, well, we'll keep our fingers crossed on that, and we'll move on to Sunday's games in the NFL. And it really started with a bang, the Broncos at the Bills. And I think it was the fifth play of the game.
Well, I got nervous on that one.
Goes deep and connects with Troy Franklin on a 43-yard touchdown. And Broncos are up 7-0. And I'm thinking, could I have been this wrong again? I mean, I thought the Bills were just going to absolutely obliterate the Broncos. I thought the Broncos were clearly an overachiever, took advantage of a soft schedule, and were going to be more than happy to get their playoff appearance and then try to build some momentum into next season after taking their L in Buffalo. And they're up 7-0 and looking like, oh, they might hang with the Bills. And they never scored again.
No.
They never scored again. The Bills took control. Josh Allen threw a pair of second-half touchdown passes, and James Cook, some hard-nosed running for the Bills with 120 yards rushing and a touchdown as the Bills did what the Bills were supposed to do and went on to a 31-7 win over the Denver Broncos yesterday morning.
And setting us up for just an incredible game.
Could be the Super Bowl.
I mean, it just is so good. The Ravens, of course, will be taking on the Bills. And I couldn't enjoy watching two teams more, maybe other than the Detroit Lions. I really enjoy watching all three of those teams play football. And, you know, this is the Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. You know, you heard the people calling the Lamar game, oh, that's your MVP. You heard the people calling the Josh Allen game, that's your MVP. I mean, it's crazy. And they said they should wait till after this game to make their decision. They're not going to. But I was really impressed with Josh Allen. I was really impressed with the defense, the play calling, all of it for Buffalo. Yeah, just never let them back in the game at all.
Well, the Bills and Ravens met in week 4 of the regular season in Baltimore, and the Ravens trashed the Bills.
Yep.
It was like 35-10 or something. I would imagine it's going to be a lot closer.
I know we're going to get into a little preview. We got all week to do so.
Yep.
But early line for that game. Buffalo hosting the Ravens on Sunday. Yep. Baltimore's favored.
Interesting.
One. Essentially a pick'em.
But woo! I would have thought those are two really good teams. You give the home team, you know, 2.5 or something. No.
Like,
Buffalo is the dog in that game.
So we're down now to the last four teams in the AFC. And I thought the clear winner so far in the playoffs is once again the Kansas City Chiefs,
yep,
who got to watch as the other teams beat up on each other. They emerge to take on a Texans team, and they're not gonna overlook the Texans after what they did to the Chargers. But you gotta be happy getting to host the Texans while the Bills and Ravens yeah, have to battle against each other in the other game. And you're God, like, fine, go ahead, you know, beat up on each other, and likely we'll get to host whoever emerges, yeah, bloodied,
and
beaten and battered from that game at Arrowhead Stadium with a chance to go to yet another Super Bowl. I mean, if you're the Chiefs fans, you're just sitting back laughing again. Like,
yeah, here we go again.
Here we go again.
Like, you could probably safely book your, I would say, book your hotel. You can book your flight, book your hotel.
New Orleans, here we come.
Yeah, the path is right there for
you. Now, I can see with, you know, the Chiefs didn't play this week. They rested everybody last week.
Yep.
I can see the Texans even jumping out to early.
Yeah.
You know, we got a good defense, probably going to be a somewhat low-scoring game. And I guarantee you the Chiefs will make one or two big plays that they have to in the second half. They will pull out the win. They will stay at home all week, and they will host the AFC Championship game.
Depending, Paulie, is there an early line on that game? Because I may hammer the Texans and the points, because I'm assuming.
Yeah,
I like the under, whatever that is.
Let's see. That game on Saturday, Kansas City is favored by 7.5 right now, opening line, and the total is 41.5.
Texans under. I like Texans under.
Texans under
in
is
that
not
game,
bad,
actually, with that, with that line. But I do think Kansas City is going to win, and they will continue their pursuit.
I would look at the first half line, maybe even in that game. Like Houston in the first half.
Yeah, first half.
Yeah, Kansas City coming out a little rusty and
Kansas
slow.
Kansas City does not cover a lot.
No.
Like to play close games.
No, and they haven't scored a ton this year either.
Yeah.
And Houston's defense is definitely dangerous, so they're not going to want to take any big chances where they can give up a pick six like, you know, the Texans had against the Chargers. So, yeah, I can see kind of a tentative low scoring, especially first half in that game. And they did, by the way, we need to get into the NFC games coming up, but as long as we're talking about next weekend, they did release the schedule for next weekend already for the divisional round of the playoffs. So here's what it's going to look like. Next Saturday, it starts with Houston at Kansas City. It's a 1:30 game our time on ABC and ESPN. And then the second game on Saturday will be Washington at Detroit. That's 5 p.m. on Fox. And then on Sunday, it'll be the winner of tonight's game, the Vikings and the Rams at Philadelphia. Oof. That's a noon start on NBC. So Sunday Night Football is actually the early game on Sunday, and then the late game on CBS is Baltimore at Buffalo. So they'll wrap up kind of with we think is the marquee game of the weekend on CBS at 3:30 on Sunday for that game. So that's the schedule for next weekend.
Yeah, and as you said, we do need to get into the NFC games, and we will do that. Certainly, we've got a couple hours left of the program. Really good one last night. I mean, tough ending for Baker Mayfield and the Bucks, but a lot of credit goes to
the best game of the weekend.
It was, and of course, it's the third game. I'm pretty burnt. Like at that point, I'm like, but I need to watch this. It's really, really good. I was kind of hoping for a blowout there so I could turn it off, but no, man, you had to sit and watch to the end as they win it on a last second field goal.
Yeah, I saw a lot of comparisons to the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the NFL doesn't seem to have figured out their matchups any better than college football. And it's actually a valid point. When you have early round matchups, they're kind of supposed to be the blowout games.
Yeah.
But why didn't you have that take with college football?
I did.
You did it.
I said the games have been bad. I didn't say the format was bad. This is how, you know, 12 to 14 team playoffs look. The first rounds tend to be blowouts.
I mean, yeah, 20-point difference, 14-point really difference, 24-point difference, 12-point difference, and then finally.
Yeah, it's just not a great way to avoid it.
I have a different perspective because I bet on every game this weekend. I really enjoyed the playoffs I enjoyed the games yesterday. Did not win a single bet on Saturday at all.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and this isn't an insult. I think it's actually smart. You're very chalky better.
Yeah.
You bet a lot of favorites to cover.
And if it's a big point spread, I usually roll with the point. I like points, too.
Yeah.
I like a lot of points.
Either so big points if, or like, the college
favorites. Basketball, or like rooting for an under.
Oh, I know. I can't do it. I bet with my heart a lot.
All right, we'll get into the NFC, college football, and more coming up. Second half of Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.